Today on Real Radio.
And I'm using this portion of scripture to say to you that the most and the best intention of all of our lives to keep our promises, I will call you, I will meet you, I will do this for you, and we fail at them though we intend to keep them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through 2 Corinthians. Verses 12 through 24 of the first chapter contains an assurance about God's promises that when he says he will do this or that, it will happen. Indeed, reassuring words for the true believer. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called When God Says, I Promise.
Paul the Apostle had promised the Corinthian believers, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to visit with you, and I'm going to speak with you, and I will pick up where I left off in my writings to you. I'll visit you in person. And they were excited about that because, number one, some of the people there loved Paul. Number two, some of the people wanted some questions answered. And some of the people that attended that church or the churches at Corinth didn't like Paul. They wanted to fight with Paul. They wanted to bring Paul down onto the carpet, as it were, and really grill him on some things because they didn't like what he had written in 1 Corinthians. They had a problem with that. And they wanted to talk to him about, what do you mean about these certain sins? And what do you mean about these certain requirements or the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And what do you mean by all these things? And they were angry. There was a division. And people were arguing and gossiping and complaining. And Paul said, I'm coming. And so when he didn't come on time, God had led him into another direction in Macedonia. We'll touch on that again where we picked off last time about him being in Macedonia. God called him into Macedonia to speak. Those that were his critics began to get very angry. And they began to tell people at Corinth, you see, Paul can't be trusted. Based upon his unreliableness, his not keeping his word, him not keeping his promises, then listen, you really can't take to heart what he's been teaching us. The Bible is very clear, listen, and we need to hear this today in our age. The Bible is very clear about sowing discord among the brethren. Did you know that? The Bible is very clear. People think it's pretty cool and fun and vogue to do. We live in a gossip age like never before. You can gossip on the internet. You can gossip with emails. You can gossip with your mouth. You can gossip and destroy people's lives. And listen, Jesus said in the end, in the judgment, we will all stand before God and give an account for every idle word. Idle, the word means worthless word that proceeded out of our mouth. And I might add, proceeded probably out of our fingertips upon our keypads. And they were gossiping about Paul. And they were attacking him. Because he was perceived as a man who can't keep his promises. And I'm using this portion of scripture to say to you that the most and the best intention of all of our lives to keep our promises, I will call you, I will meet you, I will do this for you, and we fail at them, though we intend to keep them. As humans, we will all fail one another. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. You're married. Did not your husband or your wife let you down in life? We don't have to be married, but we could be friends. And as I've said before, I promised to pick you up at 3 o'clock, or maybe you promised to pick me up at 5 o'clock, and something happens and it didn't work out. And our feelings get upset. I can't believe they did that to me. Just understand this. Even with the greatest intentions, we will fail. But God never fails. God is never early. God is never late. God is always on time. And he'll never fail us because God keeps his promises. Thank God he keeps his promises. He's gloriously faithful. And that's why we're saying today, when God says, I promise, in contrast to when Paul says, he promises, or when Jack says, he promises, God keeps his promises. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That's a promise. In the world you will have tribulation. That's great difficulties in life. Hey, church, that also is a promise. Doggone it. Don't you wish you could just cut that right out of your Bible? But that's a promise. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Verse 33, John 16 is packed with promises. Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. The world's going to go nuts. It's going to continue to implode. But be of good cheer. Christian, that's a promise, and God will get us through that. And we need to understand that as Christians, we live out our faith publicly, and we're to live our faith out boldly, based upon the promises of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
God makes his promise, and he will get us through. What's going to happen? I don't know, but God will get us through, and that's a good thing. And during those seasons, by the way, of tribulations, of hardships, Charles Spurgeon wrote this in Psalm 119, verse 15. Spurgeon wrote this in his devotion. He said, I will meditate upon thy precepts. This is a good word. He says, we ought to muse upon the things of God because we thus get the real nutriment, or nutrients, we would say, out of them. Truth is something like the cluster of the vine. If we would have wine from it, we must bruise it. Listen to this. If we would have wine from it, we must bruise it. We must press and squeeze it many times. The bruiser's feet must come down joyfully upon the bunches, or else the juice will not flow. And they must well be tread upon the grapes, or else much of the precious liquid will be wasted. So we must, by meditation, that is being in the Word of God, tread the clusters of truth if we would get the wine of comfort. I love that. Now, granted, he wrote that in 1863, but you understand what he's saying, right? That in all of this world of brokenheartedness and difficulties and troubles, God keeps his promises, but you and I will never know the depth and the power of God's promises unless you and I take the Bible and, as it were, we set it down in the wine press of our grief. Are you grieving? Is your heart broken? Has something happened in your life? There's only one way, my friend. There's only one way. I love you enough to tell you there's only one way. I know that sounds very, very nasty and very narrow-minded, but it is true. There's only one way for you to not only survive your grief and your difficulty, but to flourish in the midst of it. And here it is. You take the truth of God and you tread it out upon the feet of your meditation in the Word of God. You press it out in your grief, and out comes the promises of the wine of comfort of God's Word. There's no other comfort that comes to us but through the Word of God. We can be theologians and be completely lost. That's what I love as we had the experience with Dr. Wayne Grudem. He's a theologian who loves Jesus. That's a rarity. He's a theologian with tremendous education, like Dr. Ed Heinzen, tremendous education, but both these highly educated men have a personal walk with Jesus. They love Jesus more than anything. I love that. And in grief and in life, you tread out in the Bible with your meditation the wine of comfort. And Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, you need to be focused on the promises of God. And last time we looked at this, just by way of review very quickly, that when God promises, it's based upon his person. Remember that? Three things. Because his person is this: God is true and we can trust him. A lot of people today want to argue, well, you know, is God real or not? Why don't you take God up on his offer and find out if he's true? Look to him. He's true. We saw that in verses 12 to 14. The second thing we saw last time in this is that God is pure. God is true. Man is not true. God is pure. Man is not pure. We looked at the examples of that. And we looked in detail the fact, thirdly, that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. It's all based upon that. It's his promises upon the fact that God is sovereign. The promises that you and I cling to in the Bible come from heaven. They're not man-made. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, says the Bible. You know what that means? That means you can take a promise of God and hang on to it, quote it. I like to do this personally. I like to remind God of it. You say, how can God be reminded? He doesn't need to be reminded, but I like to put it that way. I'll say, dear Lord, remember, you wrote to me You said to me that if I'm in the hands of Jesus, no one will be able to pluck me out of your hands. John chapter 10, verses 28 to 29. Jesus, you promised that sin, evil, temptations, nothing can snatch me out of your Father's hands. I'm safe in the arms of the everlasting Lord. God, you promised me. I talk to God like that. Now, I don't do it publicly. I just shared that with you. But I do it most often in my prayer time, or even more often than that, I'll do it when I'm driving. Which is, I think, the only successful way to drive in Southern California. And now we pick it up where we left off last time, verses 15 to 19. When God says, I promised, it's all founded upon his immutability. The fact, the word means God doesn't change. He never changes. The immutability of God means that God's nature, God's person, God's promises can never change or be altered. I love it. Mark this down regarding God's inability. That's right. God cannot do something. He cannot change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi 3, 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. I like that. When it comes to promises, can you trust God? Yes, because he never changes. The next verse is Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is great. By the way, those of you who doubt the deity of Jesus Christ, you ought not to do that. It's essential for entrance into heaven. And here's a great little reason. I wonder if you got it. In Malachi 3, verse 6, plus Hebrews 13, 8, if Yahweh, Yah, that's his name in Malachi 3, 6, God is unchangeable, and Jesus Christ is unchangeable, then Jesus Christ must be God, because only God alone is unchangeable. That's a beautiful comfort. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God revealed to us in human flesh. Matthew 5, verse 17. All of this regarding the immutability of God, the unchangeableness of God, which brings us comfort to his promises. Matthew 5, 17. Jesus said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away. Wow. One jot or one tittle, that is one hyphen or one comma of the Hebrew language, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Jesus, listen everybody, people will often say, Jesus didn't speak about this or about that in the New Testament. Right there, he does. Did I have your attention? You're sure quiet this morning. Are you guys with me? Jesus Christ, in Matthew 5, 17 to 18, with that statement, endorses every single word from Genesis to Malachi of the Old Testament. He puts his thumbs up, his signature on it. Jesus is saying, the Old Testament is the word of God, and I've come to fulfill and to endorse every word of it. Amen. Wow. Wow. The promises of God, they never change. Mark this down, verses 15 to 16. It's founded upon the fact that God never changes, his immutability, and it's this: God is unwavering. He never wavers. He's not capricious. He's not whimsical. Verse 15 says, and in this confidence I intend to come to you, says Paul, to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, which was to pass by way of you into Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and to help you on my way to Judea. I'm coming. He says, I'm coming to visit with you. I've not abandoned you. And I want you to know that they accused Paul and they used the verbiage of him wavering. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm a servant of God. Yes, I'm an apostle. Yes, I'm Paul the apostle, and I've seen Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. But the truth is, God in his everlasting plans is unwavering. And Paul said, I'm submissive to the plans of God. We need to take a big, big breath of fresh air and exercise some grace. When people let us down, maybe we've had something set up in their lives, or we've put them up in our lives, and if they let us down, we get all upset, and we'll accuse them of being wavering. Listen, you can only hold God to that standard. And I can say that boldly, because he'll never let you down. But Paul says, listen, I have this confidence. He's speaking about the fact that God is unwavering. I will come to you in time, Lord willing, Paul is saying, but my confidence is in the Lord. This word confidence in verse 15 means this, the reliance upon, the concrete assurance of, the dependability of. God is immutable. Man is not. Paul, remember, we had mentioned last time, Paul had his plan A. But God's plan A, the big A, is bigger than Paul's plan. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way. That was Paul. But the Lord directs his steps. I like that verse. Can you guys maybe put that to memory? You want to memorize that verse? That's a good one. A man's heart. Put it this way. Paul the apostle planned his way, but the Lord directed his path, his steps. Jack has planned his ways. It's a fact. You've planned your ways, but you always say, thy will be done. The Lord will direct our steps. Hallelujah. If you've got a plan, it's good to have a plan. You should have a plan. But you should always be open to the Holy Spirit interrupting that plan, redirecting that plan. Amen. And I got to tell you something. I think if we walk with the Lord in the fear of the Lord, we will never be accused of being flaky in the Lord. Some people would say, well, you know what? The Lord led me to not come. The Lord led me to not show up. The Lord led me to... Now, you know, you got to be careful with that. You could use it as an excuse for laziness. That's what they had accused Paul of. Paul wasn't sleeping. He wasn't golfing in Jerusalem somewhere at the Hyatt. In fact, we know from the book of Acts, while the Corinthians were complaining, Paul was in Macedonia getting all ridiculed, mocked, and rejected for preaching the gospel. He wasn't having a good time. We need to remember that. What kept Paul going? The fact that God is unwavering. What's going to keep you going? God's unwavering. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I look okay this morning. I don't feel okay. But you know why I'm here right now? Because God's unwavering. I love it. Watch. Why are you here? See, I don't feel very good either. But why are you here? Because God's unwavering. Because we've come. Because... out of pursuing God, we know good things come of that. He's our strength, he's our power. And he's unwavering. And so we look at his promises. And in our weaknesses, the Bible says God is displaying his strength in our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. No wonder why then Paul says, I'm going to revel in my weaknesses. I like that. Paul's plan changed because God's plan never changes. The second thing is this, God is not only unwavering, but God is faithful. Verses 17 to 18, God's faithful. Therefore, he says, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Was I playing with your emotions, you guys? Or the things that I planned, did I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, or no, no? Verse 18, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. We weren't flaky and whimsical about it all. And I love that. In everything in life, Christian, write this down. In business, in marriage, in relationships, in ministry, keep this in mind, Ephesians 3:20. It's a verse I most often use in counseling with single people, most often. It's a powerful voice if you're single and you want to be married and you're getting a little older and that person hasn't come along yet. This is a verse I give and encourage people to look to. I'll use it in a verse where someone's been, listen, don't raise your hand. But you've either attended this church or some other church and someone's hurt your feelings. You got your heart bruised a little bit. You're hurt, disappointed, discouraged. And you recoil. You step back. Be careful. Be careful because watch this. God may be very well. Hello, are you listening? God may very well be speaking to you, and you haven't received it yet. You haven't gotten it yet, but God has been speaking to you. Listen carefully to this message, Fred, or Betty, or whatever your name is, Jack. Listen to this message, because people will let you down. They don't have the power to fulfill your expectations. They don't even have the power to keep their own word. But God is saying to you today, I do. And I will. keep your eyes, as a good friend of mine tells me, keep your eyes 6 feet or higher. Stop looking at men to fulfill your plans. Stop looking to people, parties, politicians, husbands or wives even, to fulfill all your dreams and all of your expectations. Pray for them, yes, but keep your eyes 6 feet and above, because God and God alone is faithful. And here's the verse. You say, what's the verse? It's Ephesians 3:20, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. That's funny, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Like one verse is greater than some other verse. It's the Bible. But it's a cool verse. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, that's God, who is able. Wow, that's power. To do exceedingly abundantly above. That's a lot. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. A reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in you, Christian. And people often say, I want to get married, but I'm 30 years old and the person's not come. Have my standards been too high? I wanted to marry a man who loves the Bible. Wait. I wanted to marry a man who loves God. Wait. I want to marry a man who prays. Wait. Or a woman. Insert that, right? Flip it. Wait. Because far too many people in relationships, and I'm picking on this one, but we can apply it to whatever case we're in, we start to give up. We lose heart on God's faithfulness. Faithfulness means time, ladies and gentlemen, time. Faithfulness has to have time, the time factor. It takes time to prove faithfulness. No one can be faithful in an hour. You gotta know somebody. It takes time, a lifetime sometimes. God is faithful. Don't let down your expectations. You pray. See, listen to Angie. She knows. I'm telling you right now. Listen, you wait and God will bring. You wait and God will do. You wait and God will show up. You wait and God will speak to you. Just wait for him. God is faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the Bible says, he who calls you is faithful and he will also do it. Oh, man, I love it. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then here you go, one of the greatest verses, Philippians 1:6. And the other two were of the greatest verses too. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That is awesome. Has God worked in your life? Yes, I remember God working in my life, but I've backslidden. I didn't ask you if you're backslidden. Has God ever worked in your life? Yes. Then guess what? It's time to get up and walk out of that complacency, out of that apathy, and rejoice in the fact that God keeps his promises, and he's faithful, and he will complete the work that he started. It may have been last year, could have been 15 years ago, could have been 30 years ago. I met somebody last week who said, this is the first time I've been back in a church in 30 years.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. In a lesson called, When God Says, I Promise. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. When God Says, I Promise is actually a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies through this part of Scripture. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you signed up to receive Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals called Real Life Devotions? Remember, you'll find them in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners love them. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Simply visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you need to get in touch by phone, here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.